Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. First is the season of Advent, followed by Christmas, then the season of Epiphany, and now 40 days of Lent. 40 days of Lent, and then the Feast of the Resurrection, Easter Sunday. You know, all these seasons of the church year, all the festivals, all the services that they contain, is all about our sin and God's grace. This place, this Christian church, is here for only one reason. It exists for God to expose and to remove your sin from you. That's the only business of the church. That's why you're here. Why you should be. The purpose of Lent, of Christ, of the church, is for God to take away your sin. Everything that God does, every mighty sign that he performs, every word that he speaks, is because of your sin. Unfortunately, if you don't think your sin is so serious or so deadly that it doesn't eventually give you up for dead, well, then I guess we can all just go home, right? You don't need the church, nor do you need Christ. I mean, what good is a bloody, suffering Savior that no one needs when you're convinced that there is nothing to be saved from? In that case, you just end up going through religious motions. After all, nothing really happens here in this place that has any bearing on your life, right? In that case, the church might as well just be a social club or a charitable organization where you can do nice things for others who need it. If you're all fine, good, squared away, it's easy enough to see yourself as a benevolent soul who works for the good of other people, lost in the wilderness and in need of your deliverance. Now, while it is true that every neighbor needs your mercy and your charity, you miss the point of the church if you don't see that it is first you who needs God's benevolence. You are the one who needs God's mercy and God's charity. You are the ones who need to be found by Jesus as you yourselves wander in this wilderness. If we ever lose sight that we are poor, miserable sinners, where every word of that confession stings, if we ever lose sight of the fact that all people of the world, we are the most guilty, the most sinful, the most unclean, that my sin, whether it's in secret or out in the open, drives me out of heaven and into hell forever. Hell that is a real bitter place where human beings will live forever in total isolation and misery. A place where you and your terror are never separated, ever. If we ever lose sight that we need deliverance from our sins, that our children need deliverance from their sin, that our coworkers and our friends and our classmates need deliverance from their sin, if we ever lose sight of that quiet tragedy in us, behind our easy smiles and Sunday best, let me tell you the truth, the church has lost its purpose. God has put this church here, in this city, this very place, for you. So that through the cross of Jesus, he can remove your sin. That's why you are here now. And that's why he is here now. So a pastor, if he is to speak truthfully and not found to be a liar, he must stand before even all the good people who have come and announce what is true about all of us and reveal just how deep the rabbit hole really is, that sin has affected you with death, You can't escape it. It's festering in your deepest parts, working all the way down and all the way through. Of course, the world, and even we Christians, sometimes defend ourselves, saying that we're mostly good deep down. But boy, if we mean that, then the world and we ourselves don't understand sin at all. See, sin rots you, it decays you, it perverts what it touches, and it touches you. Do you need some proof? Well, have you ever been sick? Have you ever mistreated someone? Have you ever been mistreated by someone? Have you ever mistreated a friend or an enemy? Well, it's always so much easier to mistreat someone you'd consider an enemy, right? What grudge are you still holding, even here in this place, this morning? Have you ever been rejected and even once known tears? Have you suffered an accident? Now, to be clear, these things are not always God's judgment on you for a specific sin, but they are signs that the signs of sin that is on all people, of all creation, on you. These things cannot happen to sinless people in a pure and sinless world. These things were not to take place in the Garden of Eden, but they would be the way of life in the wilderness. It's all this residue, this thick residue of sin. Right? You can prove that you touched a hot stove by showing someone their burnt fingers. And I can show you your sin by showing you your pain, your weakness, your anger, your bitterness in this wilderness of a world. Now, if your marriage is perfect, if your children are perfect, if your health is perfect, if your house is perfect, your school is perfect, if nothing ever breaks down, nothing disappoints, nothing hurts, if everything is just fine, well, then relax, right? You're safe. The residue of sin has not stained you. You'll live forever without Christ, apparently. For if you are perfect and without sin, what do you need a suffering Savior for? What use would you have for the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world if you have never suffered the consequences of sin in this world? But if your life is not perfect, if your health is not perfect, if your family is not perfect, then something deadly is causing it. Something is the source of all of this pain and grief. And I tell you the truth, it's not God. God doesn't break things just for laughs. He doesn't tempt you or toy with you. God brings peace in the midst of the chaos around you. God brings perfect love in the midst of selfish love and hate. While it's true that God may take away and kill, he always does so to give and to make alive again. Although sometimes in the muddled way in which we perceive things, we're not too sure. We look at God and we wonder, we suspect him. If chaos and hatred and sickness and suspicion and death have invaded your life and your family, then you should see its proper source. It's not God, it's sin. Sin's invasion was brought about by Satan's temptation in the midst of the lush paradise of Eden way back at the beginning. Sin is the reason Adam and Eve were barred from the tree of life. Sin was the reason that the ground produces thistles and thorns. Sin is the reason God spoke, saying, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return." Sin touches all people everywhere. You are ruined by it and condemned by it. Sin has turned God's good creation into a wilderness, a wasteland, where the serpent crawls on his belly seeking to devour you, O children of dust. But I have good news for you. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I want you to look beside you in this wilderness, this wasteland that you and I live in, and I pray that you have the eyes of faith to see Jesus. Also alone, also starving, also miserable, also stalked and hunted by Satan, seeking whom he may devour. See Jesus in the wilderness with you, on his way to dying a death like yours. Why is Jesus in this wilderness? Well, he never sinned. His body, flesh and bone, heart and soul are pure and holy, untouched by the stain of sin, because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So why then is he in this barren wilderness where sin and death flourish like weeds? Where he comes hungry and tempted and suffering like this? Well, don't you know? Jesus is here because you are. Jesus cannot and did not stay in heaven's peace and glory while you are here suffering. If you lose all things, he loses all things. If you starve and sweat and squirm, he too must starve and sweat and squirm. If you suffer condemnation, he suffers condemnation. If you are to die, he must die too. He loves you too much to leave you here in sin's wasteland. This world with its bright excitements, occasional splendor, and excellent advertising is the place that is at Satan's tempting disposal, but only for a little while longer. While this world's prince, Satan, may still scowl fierce as he will, as we sang, Jesus Christ himself is by your side upon the plain, where you are and where the fight is. And even more, Jesus will do the fighting himself on your behalf. He will hang on a tree, rise from the dead, and ascend into heaven only to promise his presence with us by his Holy Spirit until he bodily returns in glory. For he, Christ Jesus, holds the field forever. And it is the Lord who is working now through his church to make the forgiveness of sins known to all peoples. It's the Lord who, on his return, will wipe away all tears and death forevermore. It is the Lord who will ultimately drive Satan from this wilderness into the very bowels of hell. It is Jesus who is making all things new, all because of and all for you. So something more is happening here. See, wherever Jesus walks in this wilderness, new life springs up. He is the tender shoot from the tree of Jesse. He is the true vine growing up from the cut-down vine of Israel. Jesus is the vine, you are the branches, and your life comes from him as you have been grafted into him. He is your life. Life from heaven, from God to you. Wherever Jesus is in the wilderness, it's like finding a leafy green tree heavily laden with fruit in the middle of a place where you wouldn't expect it. A tree of life to eat from. And so to eat and to get life after the Garden of Eden tree of life is long gone. Right? Jesus is the spring of life-giving water bubbling up in the middle of your wilderness, bringing life to dusty, sin-soiled souls, washing you clean. In the wilderness, Jesus overcomes the lies of the serpent with his very truths of God, so that when he hangs on the cross, that great tree of life, he might finally crush the head and silence the mouth of the tempter. where Satan hisses accusations, Christ calls out from the cross, "You are forgiven." And from that cross, the fruits of forgiveness are given. The water from his side that flows to the font, the blood which fills the cup, the body that was given into death for you so that you might eat and drink the great Paschal feast. Jesus suffers, Jesus starves, Jesus wanders into this bitter 40-day wilderness for one reason and one reason alone. You are here. But he's not here to empathize with you, just to say, "Hey, this is pretty bad. This daylight savings time stuff is really crummy. Hang in there. It's okay. You'll get a little more sleep tonight." No. He's here to finally get you out, to recreate you, to take you to heaven when you die with his Father until this wasteland is remade and heaven and earth come together and are remade at the resurrection. That's why the Holy Spirit led Jesus to your spot, to the wasteland. And he brings food down from heaven, healing you for your hurt mind, your heart, your bruised body and soul, the whole of you. God created you, sin wrecks you, so death claims you. But Christ heals you of your death, forgives your sin, and perfects you. His water is the only water in this wilderness that will save you, and so he says, "I baptize you in it, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And his food is the only food that will nourish you to life everlasting. So hear again and believe his word. Take and eat. This is my body given for you, and my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sin. Here is life from heaven in this wilderness. Here is deliverance from Satan and from all of his works and all of his ways. Here is cleansing from your sin. This is why your God is in the wilderness. Why Christ Jesus is with us in our wasteland. Why his body, the church, is here, even right here. This is why you are here at this moment. This life, this deliverance, this cleansing, it's yours. Your sin is deadly on you, yes, but your God is with you. And he has delivered you from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. And he will bring you from this wilderness to the joys of paradise forevermore. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who is with us. Amen.